it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show, State Treasurer, State of South Carolina, Curtis Loftus. Hey, sir, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. I'm loving this cool weather. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I like that undertone of cool, you know, that means fall's coming. And you know what's
if
coming?
If I were Henry McMaster, I would call it a statewide holiday to enjoy the great weather.
I'm telling you what. But you know what? This year I'm kind of, you know, it's a little different because you know what fall means? My high school senior, Treasurer Loftus, fall is a reminder of SATs and now college applications because she's getting ready to go to college next year. And I wanted to thank you personally because, you know, you and I have been talking about this for years on talk radio, right? So I knew all about SC Future Scholar. And when she was in elementary school, I opened an account for her. And then I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this. I set it on, like, you know, that automatic setting for investment. Like, it's aggressive at first, and then it gets more conservative as you get closer to college. And then I got really busy, and I lost the login, and I kind of didn't check it for a few years. I would not recommend, by the way, my investment approach for anybody. But if you're going to do it on a Future Scholar account. I was kind of terrified to open it to see, like, what it would look like, right? I mean, what was going on in there when I finally, you know, got the recovery and went in there. And I was shocked. I about fell off my chair, Treasurer. There were five figures in there for her college. And I had not put away a lot. I did it consistently so it would withdraw every payday. But it wasn't a lot. But, boy, did it make a difference. And it's really set her up. To not have the kind of debt I went to college with. And so I just want to thank you for this program. It really is going to make a difference in her life.
Well, the easiest job I have is talking to radio personalities in the morning because virtually all of them have 529 accounts, and they all have the same story. It's wonderful because y'all do it. I need to just be quiet and let y'all call. That's why I call it so y'all can. Because it is amazing. The General Assembly set this up so that it really worked for people like you and me, not the elites, not you know those who are going to go to college anyway. This is a good working and middle class program. The speakers had kids in it. The Bruce Banister's kids. I mean, so many of them have invested in it themselves. They get the same, you know, deal that everybody else gets because it works. It's the tax advantage way to save for college. We have over 200,000 people in the program, and it's a $7 billion program.
Wow.
That's, you know, it was 1.1 when we started, but in large part, the radio interviews we do with around the state, I mean, universally, The radio personalities listen, they got their 529 accounts, and now their kids are in college, and they love it.
Can you clarify something for me? Because I think I understand this, and I should know this since I did it for years, but I'm not sure. Is it 100% tax write-off when you do this for college, if you're a South Carolina?
Here's how it works. You can kind of think about it like an IRA. Uh-huh. When you put money in, it's a tax deduction on your state income tax.
Right.
Not your federal, but your state.
Right.
But then the money grows tax-free, and that's the most important part. And then when you take it out, it's tax-free. So you've beaten that tax man 2.5 times, as I like to say. And it just – the difference when you don't have to pay income tax on that gains is incredible.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so popular. So when you can go to any accredited college in not just South Carolina, but in the country, and there are about 600 around the world. It's trade school, tech school, community colleges, specialty schools like chef schools and things like that. You always want to make sure that they're accredited. And of course, the four-year colleges as well. And now they even allow you to go to private schools and pay the tuition. You don't get room and board, but you can pay your tuition and those expenses. So that's a big case. We've had people who said, you know, we got this 529 account for our kid, but our kid's a brainiac, and he's going to get scholarships. So what they do is now they think, well, why don't we put the kid into the best private school we can find so he can have a lot of specialized instruction, and then that's where those education dollars would be best spent for him, and then he won't have to worry about the rest of it. So it just works out so well.
And I understand that, if I understand this correctly from the script semi, that adults who are repaying their student loans can use this as well?
That's right. That's right. You can use up to $10,000 to pay in student loans if you had any. You also can roll over any leftover amounts into a Roth IRA. And, of course, all that's tax deductible, or excuse me, no tax charge. So it's so flexible. The General Assembly, this is one of the best things they've done. I always like to say, if everything the government did was as good as a 529 plan, we'd all love government.
We sure would. Well, tell folks, Treasurer, how they can go about signing up for one of these plans.
FutureScholar.com. FutureScholar.com is the website. We spend a lot of time to make it simple. My message to the staff was make it simple enough so that I can use it. And I can. I've got four or five of these things myself that I have for nieces and nephews. You know, I'm not going to buy a kid a present. Everybody I know's got what they want, right?
Yeah.
But I will give money to education. And it is very satisfying. You get that quarterly statement, or I see them on a quarterly, come monthly, but I see it once a quarter. And it just, you know that you're doing something good. You're not buying that blue sweater for a kid who's already got three blue sweaters or whatever it is, right? You're doing something meaningful. And with all the options there are, they can spend it. But you go to FutureScholar.com. You can probably do one in 30 or 40 minutes. It's not complicated. If you have a problem, there's a phone number you can call. Somebody in the country who understands these programs, and that's what I can't stress enough. They're inside America, and they understand these programs. They'll help you. And if for some reason you can't get that done, call me. I'll come see you.
Amen to that, Curtis Loftus. Really appreciate you joining us today on the show. And again, I think the address, futurescholar.com. That's futurescholar.com.
And thanks for the testimonial. It means a lot. People trust you. They know you. And they understand that it's working for you and it can work for them.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone. And by the way, including grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone can open a Future Scholar account for a young person.
That's right. I did. I shot my mouth off to all my brothers and sisters. I didn't think I was going to be in office, but for one term. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll do this when you start having babies. Well, they all started having babies. I'm still in office. So it's costing me a fortune, but it is something I'm very proud of. And so there we are. So it works out well. Grandma, grandpa's, friends, family, everybody can help. And the person who writes that check is the one who gets the tax advantage on the South Carolina tax forms. So that's always a good thing.
Yep, absolutely. Curtis Loftus, State Treasurer, thank you so much for joining us today on 98.9 WORD. Want to dive into this really quickly because you're probably not going to hear this anywhere else today. Do you remember that big hearing last week? Huge hearing, RFK, right? And the senators, not all of them, but those that are fully owned subsidiaries of the pharmaceutical industry, including Elizabeth Warren, who took $855,000 in political donations from Big Pharma, they were wailing on RFK. They were going nuts, demanding he resign. But if you don't know a lot of background, it's really confusing. What were they so upset about? They kept saying something about he's not following the science or something. But the problem is that he is following the science. And that has their paymasters in the pharma companies in a panic. Why? Guess what is going on at the FDA? The FDA answers to RFK Jr. It's run by Dr. Marty Makary with Johns Hopkins, long-term, very respected medical doctor, but also Wall Street Journal opinion columnist as well. Very respected individual. What are they doing? Well, this is what has the senators, Democrats, and a few Republicans in a true panic. They're doing an intense investigation of child deaths following the COVID shot. Wait, what? Child deaths. In VAERS? VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, the gold standard created by Congress over 30 years ago. It was meant to be an early warning system that there are problems with a vaccine. It is used in all kinds of medical research, highly respected until CNN declared that we shouldn't listen to anything in VAERS anymore. Why? Because people were dying from the COVID shot. They didn't want you to take it seriously. Well, wait a minute. The FDA under RFK is now conducting an intensive investigation of child deaths. How many child deaths are we talking? This is children under the age of 17 from the COVID vaccine, as reported to VAERS. About 202. 202? Dead kids? That's a national scandal. As RFK tried to tell the Senate, they ran him over. They tried to shut him up. There are more reports of deaths in VAERS from the COVID vaccine than every other vaccine combined for the last 30 years. But it's what it's done to children that is so gut-wrenching. Now, here's what you need to know about these deaths. By the way, good for them. They are pulling the autopsies. They are going through every last one. That's the justice these families deserve. But here's the catch. Not every death gets reported to VAERS. Usually it's between 1% and 10% of the deaths get reported to VAERS. So you have to multiply. Now, I would think deaths of children from the COVID shot would be more likely to be reported to VAERS. More likely. So let's go with the most conservative number. Let's say it's 10% of child deaths reported to VAERS. Then how many would there be since the advent of the shot? Here, just here in America. 2,000. 2,000. For a shot that had no effect stopping COVID. Increased your chances of getting it. And remember, for those under the age of 60, COVID death-wise was no worse than a severe flu season. And we have a severe flu season, an average of 1 to 2 times a decade. Nobody even bats an eye. 202 dead children. Now do you see why all of the sudden they're having march outs, 1,000 people anonymously signing documents demanding RFK resign? Yeah, they want to stop this because they oversaw it. 200 dead kids. They know it. They're just getting ahead of it all. Shame on them. Shame on them. And I hope RFK will not be dissuaded or Dr. Marty Markaria from finding the truth and preventing this from ever being happening. Because I'm telling you right now, today in doctor's offices, parents will request because they don't know any better. And those needles are going to go into kids' arms and there's going to be more dead kids in VAERS. And the sooner they can stop it, the better.
Absolutely.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely wild Gallup poll. You know, we keep hearing about the replacement problem. Yeah, the birth rate problem. Birth rates are falling. And they're really going off a cliff, honestly, with this younger generation. Well, the first time we've ever seen this actually broken out, we learned something from the U.S. General Social Survey. In fact, British journalist John Byrne Murdoch pointed it out, and he's a liberal, so he was in a bit of a panic over it. It's actually not conservatives that aren't having children. In fact, they're having children at above replacement rate, about the same rate they always have, 2.7 on average. So why is the birth rate dropping in America? It's almost entirely driven by people on the left having no or fewer kids. And he made an interesting argument that the left-right divide on family creation matches the divide on mental health. 50% of self-described liberal women say they're mental. They're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They've been diagnosed. And I believe that. You'd have to be crazy to think what the left is saying makes any kind of sense. And we just had another poll last week from Gallup that showed something fascinating. 2.5 times as many women said they were happy or very happy who were married and have kids as among those who were not married or did not have kids. In other words, by a 2.5 time margin, the happiest women in our society are those who are married and have kids. Everybody else has been sold a lie. I was sold that lie. My parents did it to me, and I will not repeat the error. Well, you got to get your career set first. You've got to wait. You got to have your career set. You got to have everything all lined up, ducks in a row. I lost a decade that way. Pursuing what? You know, it's funny. I did have my ducks in a row when I finally married my husband. I did. I had them all in a row, just like I was supposed to. And you know what happened? I got fired. He lost his business. We hit rock bottom. There are no guarantees in life. Not even if you get it all set up. You tumble like that. We hit rock bottom together, two little babies. That whole message my parents gave me. Gotta have it all the ducks in a row. I don't tell my kids that. I tell them grab happiness when you find it and you hold on to it with everything you have. And if you meet the person that you just, wow, you're head over heels and you're 21, you think I'm too young? No, you're not. No, you're not. You grab it and you hold on. That is the most important thing. Have kids as early as you can. You know why? You can have more. And they are the greatest source of joy in the world. There's nothing that compares to them. And you know what is so sad? Only one group of people in America gets this. I'm glad somebody does. And I hope they take control. It's men who voted for Trump. This remarkable new Gallup survey. Boy, I could do a whole 4-hour show on this and not be done. Asked, which of the following is important for your personal definition of success? And there were like 18 things you could choose from. Number one, for males who voted for Trump, having children. What about all the other groups? Well, females who voted for Harris, having a job or career you find fulfilling. Men who voted for Harris, having a job or career you find fulfilling. And for females who voted for Trump, it's actually achieving financial independence. Wrong answer. No, it's not. It's your family. Everything else comes second. Somehow this has gotten all screwed up. So you have young conservative men who have their priorities straight. And again, this one was published by NBC. 18 to 29s who voted for Trump ranked having children as their number one definition of success and priority. Number four was getting married. So what about Gen Z men who voted for Kamala? They rated children as priority number, get this, 9. And getting married at number 10. This is why I tell my daughter, do not even bother pursuing a liberal man. They are way too narcissistic and self-involved. They do not make good partners. You'd be better off getting a cat. It will care more about you. It's true. I dated some of them. They are just, wow, a mess. But what about Gen Z women who voted for Harris? It's even worse. Kamala voters put being married as priority number 11 and having kids as 12. Now, here's the crazy thing. What is it for men who voted for Trump? Having kids is number one. Number four is being married. So it goes like this. Having children is number one. Number two, achieving financial independence. A very good goal, by the way. Having a job or career you find fulfilling. And then number four, being married. I'd arrange those a little, but the top five is the right mix. But even females who voted for Trump, we don't even get to having children till number six in priorities. And being married is number nine. This is how you end up unhappy. And you know what a crock of lies this is? Again, just the second other poll this week, 2.5 times as many married women with children report being happy or very happy. 2.5 times. They are the happiest people in America, women in America. It falls dramatic. Just a third of liberal women who aren't married and don't have kids are happy. It's dramatic. And yet they think they have to do it. Charlie Kirk has been talking a lot about this lately. This was on Fox News yesterday, and I absolutely loved it. This is a conservative feminist female that he encountered on one of his college tours. Take a listen to her.
And I think that a better way to propose feminism in the public media would be not to eliminate having children and tell women that they shouldn't have children, but to figure out your career first before you decide to like settle down, because you can't really undo that once you have kids.
She thinks there's guarantees. Oh, yeah, no, get your career going. It'll be great. No, until you lose everything. Think you're going to keep that job? You're not going to keep that job? No, life doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Charlie Kirk had the best answer ever for her. I'll play it coming up next. Talking about how the only people in America right now, at least according to Gallup, have their heads on straight are males who voted for Trump. Number one priority, having children. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You would think that would be like women, but it's not. Number one, having children. Number two, achieving financial independence. Again, and what's so stunning about this, and this is why you're seeing a decline in births. And why the reporter from the UK that I talked to about earlier pointed out, hey, listen, this is not conservatives. They're still above replacement rate at about 2.7 average kids per family. This is liberals who basically aren't breeding. And he's a liberal. He was warning me. He's like, wow, we're going to have a conservative future because we're just not breeding. We need to start breeding. We don't need to give in to this, hey, don't have kids because of global warming stuff or whatever other cray-cray they have going on. Look, they do what they want. I don't care. But I just think what the priorities are interesting. This is why I told my daughter, you do not date a liberal man. They are useless. Just so self-absorbed. I did it a couple of times. I'll never do it again. That's what I told her. I said, I figured it out quickly. Waste-o time. It's not because they're politics. It's because of their psychology. They are so self-absorbed. They are simply incapable of caring for other people or giving them proper notice even. You look at female Kamala voters, put being married at priority number 11 and having kids at priority number 12. You're just never going to get there at that rate. But the men, liberal men who voted for Kamala, getting married is priority number 10. Children, priority number 9. Sadly, for females who voted for Trump, having children is only priority number 6 beyond achieving financial independence and having a job or career you find fulfilling. So, Charlie Kirk had some great commentary on this. This is a conservative feminist, self-defined, that he met on campus.
And I think that a better way to propose feminism in the public media would be not to eliminate having children and tell women that they shouldn't have children, but to figure out your career first before you decide to like settle down, because you can't really undo that once you have kids.
Can't do that? Undo that? Yes, you can. Today, man, you're going to have two or three careers. You're going to be in two or three different fields. You can't undo that once you have kids. Oh, my gosh. I would love to sit down and have lunch with her. You can tell she hadn't been out in life much. Here's Charlie Kirk's response.
I always get in trouble no matter how I answer this question. Here it goes. Look, I'll say this, is that having children is more important than having a good career. I have two kids. I also have an amazingly blessed career. Our podcast is doing great, but my kids matter way more than how many social media followers that I have. And I would also tell young ladies, you can always go back to your career later, that there is a window where you primarily should pursue marriage and having children. And that is a beautiful thing. This is not about shaming. It's not about ridiculing. It's not about moralizing. It's about lifting up what is beautiful. And by the way, when you look at the mental health data, young women are not okay. Half of liberal white women say that they have some form of mental health issue that has been diagnosed by a doctor. Oh. What is the number one thing that mental health professionals will tell you when it comes to mental health issues? Loneliness does not help. So maybe we should solve the loneliness epidemic by encouraging young ladies to get married and have children. It's good for them, it's good for America, and it's good for our future.
And look, folks, it's not an either-or thing. It's a matter of priorities, mental. Like, what is at the top of your mental map? In other words, what's my next stop? What do I got to do? What's most important to me? What am I looking for? Great example I've seen of that recently. My last producer, Tim, not my current producer, Tim. I had another producer named Tim before this. And he texted me recently to say he had gotten married. And he set marriage as a priority. He treated it as a job. He was great Christian guy, wants to get married, and really made it a priority with his church and youth groups. I mean, this is what he was doing in with his free time. I mean, he was looking for a wife, and not just a wife, a good wife. And she said yes, and he just got engaged. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. But I loved the way he made it a job, as important as a job, and he accomplished his goal. I'm not saying stay home, don't get a job. You know, you need to have a career. You need to have a way to, not a career, but a way to support yourself. That's really key, especially if you're going to have kids. It's not what I'm saying. It's the mental map. What is your first stop? What is your most important journey that you are on? And we need to teach this to kids. He's not wrong. Why? Because you know what? Biology is a reality. You decide, well, I'm going to get it all together. And by about 30, when my career seems to be going good, then I'll go find a guy and have kids. They're not going to be a guy. They're going to be a guy. You can't time that. And I've been saying that for years. That is the opposite of what my parents taught me. And I lost a decade because of it, chasing stupid things. Things that don't matter. Things that won't matter the second I stop doing them. Things that won't even be remembered. It's all you get as the people who love you and remember you and the generations that come from you. It's all you get. Nobody tells young women this. It's funny because my daughter, who considers herself a feminist, hilariously, she's we're working on her. She loves children. That's her nature. She's such a nurturer. She'd be a fantastic mom. She should have six. You know how some women have a gift for that? They're just Betty Crocker. They're just born that way. And some women, you know, we have to work at it. You know, being that good, nurturing mom. Not that you're not a good mom, but it's just like playing soccer. Some people are better at it than others. Some people it comes naturally to her. And I'll see her. We'll be in church. We'll be walking. And she'll see a baby. She can't help it. She's just drawn. She's only 17, obviously. Oh, my gosh. Oh, she can't help it. And I said, you know what? I give you permission. You love that. You want it. Don't deny yourself that. Have five or six. Don't be apologetic about it. Make that your goal. Your number one goal. I mean, we're not going to college next year and we're not planning for other things and we're not making sure that we have maybe a marketable skill or two should we ever need it. That's not what I'm saying. We should do all of those things. They're not mutually exclusive. But I said, I'm giving you permission. That's what you want. That's what you love. Go for that. Don't deny yourself that. You love kids. Have five or six. And I laugh at her, say feminist, whatever. I mean, look at your mom. Has anyone ever repressed me? No. Feminism, what a joke. I just got to laugh. So I'm like, I'm in the middle of like red state, red county with a like 60 to 80% male audience who tune in to listen to a woman every morning. Folks, I'm sorry. The feminist battle is over. We won. We're done. You can do whatever you want as a woman. Don't be stupid. Feminist joke. Anyway, yeah, feminism was nice, like when we were trying to get the vote and stuff. Like, but we're here. We've arrived. You can do it. Trust me. If I can do this and have a male audience, you could do whatever you want in this world. You can. Texter writes, men should be stepping up and supporting the family. I agree with that. Absolutely. Another texter writes, no, you can't go back. I've been looking for a job for over 2 years. I have great experience. My work app has killed me, and I need to accept that my career is over. Oh, come on. Now, I double down and keep looking. Now, you're going to pull out of it. You will. That's how life goes. I have been where you are, and I came back from it. I've hit rock bottom. You just keep looking. You know what? It's a multi-year slog to come back. It is. But there's no guarantee once you do, you won't hit rock bottom again, lose a career. It happens to everybody 2-3 times a life. It does. Texter writes, I have 4 sons and 5 grandchildren. I can't imagine a life without them. If I was to change anything, it would be to spend more time with them. See, yep, that's the perspective you get at the end of your life. And I keep trying to tell people, this is what we need to tell kids is the priority. Whoa. I don't even know if I should read this text. I can validate. I listen to you more than my wife. I'll have to think about the implications of that. No, I'll do it at the break. Be right back. I'm going to end the show with the biggest story of the day. Same one I opened the show with because it's such a gut punch and really centers us around everything the left has planned for us. Folks, you think what happened on that light rail line in Charlotte's a big deal? Oh, you should see this. Because this, what you're seeing with the release of prisoners, criminals jumped back on the streets, cartel members just allowed to roam the country free, even though they're known cartel members by the left. Our side mistakes this for being soft on crime. It's not. It's a deliberate strategy as old as Marx himself when he first suggested it. Allow the criminal class to roam free. In fact, let them out of the jails. Create such terror in the population that they will spend their days simply trying to survive, trying to get from point A to point B. They won't have time to come after you. So we watch what happened with DeCarlos Brown Jr. in Charlotte, 14 times he was arrested, turned out. We think this is what the left has in mind for us. You get murdered, the mayor of Charlotte shrugs her shoulders, doesn't give a damn. Spends a lot more time in her statement on him and his poor circumstances than on the murder victim. Because the murder victim, if you die in a way that embarrasses the party, the Democrat Party, then you are automatically canceled. But I wanted you to know, what does it look like when it's all rolled out? What the worldwide left's plan ultimately is? I want to read you a headline so insane. Honestly, you should pull your car over. Convicted terrorist who confessed to masterminding 7/7 bombing, wished all the best by judge. You remember the 7/7 bombing in London? 56 people killed. by this terrorist, who, by the way, before that opened an Al-Qaeda training camp. They just released him. He killed 56 people. By the way, the mental hospital where he's been living the last few years testified he's a schizophrenic and he's still a jihadist. Oh, and he's also a danger. Quote, poses a risk to the public, unquote. Judge wished him all the best and let him go. 56 dead. So they, I mean, surely nothing compared to this. This is where they're going. Why? He's a high value voter. And there are no limits for them, not for the left. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Have a great rest of the day.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.